Let's turn over to 2 Timothy. We'll start in chapter 3 this morning. 2 Timothy chapter 3, we'll start in verse 7. It says, "Always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for this day. I thank you for the blessing that we have, Lord, to be gathered together, Lord, to take part in your supper, Lord, to take part in looking into your scriptures together. Lord, I pray that looking through the scriptures this morning, Lord, that we might have open minds and open hearts to what you're trying to tell us, Lord, that we might not just learn things about you, Lord, but learn truly who you are and truly grow a relationship with you, Lord. And I just thank you so much for your Son, Lord. I thank you for the Holy Spirit that indwells us, the Holy Spirit that is helping us to overcome this world, Lord. I thank you so much for the plan that you have for us to be your people. Lord, I just thank you for the saints across this world that are serving you. Lord, I thank you for the encouragement that they are to me and to everyone there around. Lord, I thank you for Jesus, and we just pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Kind of an interesting concept for the time that we live in, you know, the always learning but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. You know, we kind of live in a time where facts and or maybe facts, where information is easily accessible. It's something that at the tip of our fingers, you know, we can take our phone out and we can find out random dates and random facts about people and stuff just by hitting the old Google. And it's handy in a lot of ways. If you're not fully in agreement with your wife on something that happened, you can look it up and prove that she's always right, whether she is or not. So that's great. It's super handy that way. It's handy when you're debating with your buddies about who the best football quarterback was of all time, and you can go on there and look things up and make your points. It's handy for a lot of things like that. It's handy for just getting information. It's made a lot of us better mechanics, being able to pull out the phone and go to YouTube and things like that. So it's handy in a lot of ways to have this time that we live in with the information. The information age is what they call it. But I think that sometimes people can have all the information, but none of the knowledge. And I think that's one thing that I have found is that, we can look up really easily, how to spell certain words. But you know what that tells me is that nobody knows how to spell words. And I'm as guilty as the next guy, you know. We had some company at our house a couple weeks back, this gal told a little fib on a text to somebody, and text back and said, I'm not a very good liar because the guy didn't believe her and stuff, but she couldn't spell liar. And the woman's a very knowledgeable person, but she every time she looked at how it was spelled out, it didn't look right. It didn't look right, so she finally just sent it L-I-E-R, and that wasn't correct. So, but, you know, we get to the point where we can type things in and stuff, but we don't really understand and we don't really know anymore. Like, I can just type in real quick L-I-A, and it pops up liar right away on my phone, but that didn't help me spell it. It just told me how it was spelled. That wasn't something that I truly knew. We can look up facts about all sorts of different things. We had a little confusion in our household a while back between a couple. I was not a part of this. There was a little confusion between my son and my wife because Weston had a book that said President Roosevelt was born in 1909 or something like that. I can't remember. I didn't even look up the dates before I came in. And one said it was like 1870, and I was like, well, that's just not right. One's not right here. And after quite a lot of discussion, we realized that there was two President Roosevelts, and that one was born in the 1800s and one was born in 1900s. And so Yeah, it was a good time. It's a good time for me. So, but we had the access to the knowledge, had the access to the facts, to the learning of it, and hopefully now we have the knowledge. But I think you understand my point is that we can have all the information in the world, but still not know. And I think that that's something that excuse me, that our society and our modern in modern times here, I think that's something that that we can really see in the religious marketplace. Visiting with a guy last night, we were talking about a group of friends, very religious folks, and you can't be around them very long without having a conversation that leads back to Jesus in some way or another. And I think that there's a lot of people that are like that. But I think that what we have to try and understand is, are we talking about the same Jesus? And I think that sometimes that maybe we're not. So hopefully we kind of go through that. Let's go through a couple of things here. you know, Paul warns Timothy of this stuff in this passage here. And, you know, the thing that we have, like we've kind of pointed out, is that we have endless learning, but we don't have the truth. Let's go to Romans chapter 1. We'll go to a few points here. Romans chapter 1, we'll start in verse 18. It says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which is known about God is evident within them, for God made it evident to them. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes, His eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what it has been made, so that they are without excuse." Verse 21, "For even though they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for the image in the form of corruptible man and of birds and four-footed animals and crawling creatures." They knew the attributes were there. It was made known from the creation of the world. From the creation of the world it was known. But they exchanged the incorruptible for the corruptible. They exchanged God for something else. They didn't want to truly know God. They didn't want to be a part of God. They didn't want to be obedient to God. And so they made something else up. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 8. I don't think that's the one I was after, but now concerning things sacrificed to idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge makes arrogant, but love edifies. See, knowing things, it kind of fits. Knowing things and knowing facts and knowing statements and knowing the scripture is not knowing God. You know, see, the Word of God is in the Scripture, and we fully believe that everything in here is spoken by God. But knowing the Bible isn't knowing God. I think even Kirk spent some time on this and talking about the Pharisees and stuff here as we've been going through John over the last little while. The relationship isn't with the Scriptures. The relationship is with God, with Jesus. It's not with the Scriptures. And we can get all the knowledge we want about Him in here, but if we don't truly understand, we don't truly believe, we don't come to know Him, then it's just words and facts that we know. Talking with a guy a while ago, he said that, you know, his brother read through the Bible multiple times. He said he knew it better than I did. But he was an atheist. Because he never understood, never let it change him. He knew the words, he read through it, he understood a lot of the stuff in it, but he never let it change him. He never was obedient. He never truly knew Jesus. And I think that that's a struggle that a lot of people have. It's like, you know, we were having a Bible study one time, And of course, we went through the plan of salvation eventually, and it was with a couple of brothers, and then the guy, I think, mentioned to, he was speaking directly to Kirk at this time, but he said, what you're saying is that you know, 20, whatever, how old we were, 25 or 24, whatever it was, 20 maybe, we were even, I don't know. He said, you're saying that you know more than all of these scholars throughout this time that that believe differently than you. And I don't remember exactly how Kirk answered, but basically, that's not what I'm saying. But I am saying that I know Jesus. And that they might have had a lot of knowledge, but they didn't know Jesus. They might have said a lot of things, but they didn't truly understand, they didn't truly believe him. So we live in the information age, and we can Google anything, but truth isn't found in information. Truth is found solely in Jesus. Turn over to John chapter 14. John chapter 14, verse 6. Says Jesus, well, let's start in verse 4. And it says, "And you know the way where I am going." And Thomas said to him, I love this part about Thomas. He said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you're going. How do you say that we know? Or how do we know the way?" And Jesus said to them, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to me, to the Father, but through me." See, I'm just going to side note here. Thomas gets a bad rap sometimes because he's the doubter and stuff. But like Thomas is me, man. Like Thomas is like, "Bro, you said we know the way. I don't know what. How do we know the way? I don't know. Like, what's this way?" Like, he's just honest. He just doesn't know. And God and Jesus tells him, he says, "I am the way. I am the way, the truth, and life." And we talked a little bit last week, or a couple weeks ago, that that we're in this time where people like, you know, hey, yeah, you know what? You find your way to salvation, I'll find my way. It's fine. But it's not. Jesus is the way. He is the way, the truth, and life. And he's the only way to the Father. And to find truth, you know, I've talked quite a bit about marriage at times, and I've come to the conclusion that you can't truly love somebody unless you know love from God. Yeah, I don't believe that you can do it. I don't know that we can fully know truth unless we know the truth of God. Unless we know Jesus, do we fully understand? Do we truly want truth if we're not obedient to this truth? I don't know if we do. I don't know if that's something that the world wants. Turn back a couple chapters to John chapter 8. Verse 31, it says, Jesus was therefore was saying to those Jews who had believed him, "If you abide in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine, and you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free." What was you know? There's a lot of a history in our nation. Dad and I, when he was in the legislature, we went to I can't remember what the significance of that dinner, why they were having that at that time. But we went to a dinner where I believe it was Frederick Douglass impersonator. Is that correct? I'm trying to remember. I think that's who it was. He was a slave who, back in you know, the early parts of our country, he was a slave, and he grew up. He was born a slave, and he ended up getting out of slavery. And but one thing that he talked about was that they were never able to learn how to read. It was something that they were it was suppressed in the idea of knowledge and learning and being able to read in their, you know, in his environment. And so when he learned to read, it was freeing to him. You know, he learned about these things and the knowledge that he received and the wisdom that he received and the stuff that he understood and believed and found truth in was more freeing to him than being freed as a slave. And had a lot to do with being freed as a slave. See, when we don't understand, when we don't know the truth, we are slaves to something. We are enslaved to something. If we don't have the truth of the gospel, if we don't have the truth and understand the truth about Jesus, we're enslaved to sin. We're enslaved to the devil. We're enslaved to him if we don't truly understand Jesus and we don't know him. But the truth of knowing Jesus will set us free from all things. I think that all of us can attest to that. That coming to the knowledge of the truth and coming to him and having the Holy Spirit can set us free from a crazy amount of things. Because it is a spirit of freedom that we have. Pop over to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. starting in verse 1. It says, "For I want you to know how great a struggle I have on your behalf, and for those who are in Laodicea, and for all those who have not personally seen my face, that their hearts may be encouraged, having been knit together in love, attaining to all the wealth that comes from the full assurance of understanding, resulting in true knowledge of God's mystery, that is Christ himself, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." All things, all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge come from God, come from Jesus. We don't know things, we don't truly understand anything really about this life and the purpose of this life unless we know God. You see, everybody's trying to figure out the purpose of life. What's the purpose of life? How do we get happiness, the pursuit of happiness and all these things? We don't know any of it unless we know God. I know people who live happy lives, but they seem to always have something missing. And when trials come, things crack. When trials not come, you know, things fall apart. Maybe their marriage falls apart. Maybe a loved one passes away. Things like that. Maybe they lose their job. You know, stuff like that. I've never seen people's world crash more than when they lose their job. You know, we read about Paul and the things that he did. You think that losing his job was anything that ever crossed Paul's mind? No, the only thing that crossed Paul's mind was whether or not he was going to be able to take as many people to eternity as possible with him. That's the only thing that he worried about. Other stuff take care of itself. As we'll read about later in Philippians, you know, he counted all things as loss for the sake of knowing Christ Jesus. You know, I understand the physical parts of it. Well, trust me, when the cattle market goes belly up and things aren't going to look very good and things, and that might happen sooner and later, who knows? You know, it makes you a little bit concerned. There's worry there. When people lose, it's an impact on people's lives. When a loved one passes away, it's a huge deal. But if we have the knowledge of the truth, if we have the understanding of who Christ is, we can have the ability to go through those trials. And we can come out of them with proven character, perseverance, with hope. And hope does not disappoint, as Brandon read about this morning. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of all knowledge." I think that's something that is probably extremely true. You know, the fear of the Lord, like, I mean, there's nothing that'll make you look into the Scriptures more than the fear of the Lord. And I think that's something that's important. you know, if we have our phones have compasses now and they're never right, but some of you young folks, or maybe you old folks, I don't know. What way does the needle of a compass point? Anybody? North? Points north, right? A good compass is always pointing north, right? So no matter where you are, it could be dark outside, you could be in the middle of the ocean, you could be in the middle of the Badlands, you could be all turned around in the mountains, whatever it is. But if you pull out your compass, it's an actual compass, it's always going to be true north, correct? That arrow is going to be pointing north, and it will give you the direction that you need to head. It will help you find your way. When it comes to knowledge and to truth, there's only one thing that points true north, and that is Jesus. And Jesus is always pointing true north. We can always find the starting point. We can always find the foundation if we look to Jesus. We can say, okay, hey, I don't know what's going on. I might be in some trials, some tough parts in life. But one thing that is always for certain is that Jesus is always pointing dead north. We always can look at him and find a certainty, even if we're lost. Now, I've got great sense of direction, so I can give directions, and I'll go north here and south there and east there and west there, but my wife does not. So it doesn't work that way. But if we have a compass, we can look at it and we can find out what the true way is. And that is what it's like knowing Christ. Is that no matter what people say, no matter what happens, if we look to him, we will find the direction that we need to go. Turn over to Romans chapter 10 again. Romans chapter 10. And I'll start in verse 1. Paul writing here says, "Brethren, my heart's desire is, and my prayer to God for them is for their salvation. For I bear them witness that they have zeal for God, but not in accordance with knowledge. For not knowing about God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own, they did not subject themselves to the righteousness of God. And he's speaking primarily to the Jews here, but he says, hey, they have a zeal for God. How many people do we know that are religious people that have a zeal for Christ? They're like, man, they would die for Christ. But they don't have the knowledge of him. They would die for this person that they have put into that position, that deity that they have made in their own image. But do they truly know who the true Christ is? You know, the name Jesus is spoken about all across our nation, all across the world, all the times, and so many different things, and the idea of being a Christian and all of this stuff. But is it the same one? Is it the same Jesus? You see, the Jews here, they had a zeal for God. They had a zeal for him. But it wasn't a knowledge. For not knowing about God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own, they did not subject themselves to the righteousness of God. See, they didn't follow him. Turn over to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. We'll start in verse 22. James chapter 1, verse 22. It says, but prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. But the one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man shall be blessed in what he does. If anyone thinks he is thinks himself to be religious, and yet does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this man's religion is worthless. The pure and undefiled religion is the sight of our God and Father, to visit the orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself unstained by the word. We can be hearers all day long. We can hear everything about Jesus. We can study everything about Jesus. We can learn all of the stuff about him. But if we do not go and do, then it's worthless facts that we know, but no relationship. And I think that is absolutely, absolutely become what modern Christianity is. People hear it, but people don't do it. People hear the words, but they don't follow it. They hear the words, but they don't understand it. They hear the words, but they don't believe them. They hear the words, but they don't act on them. You know, I can sit here, and I've had a Bible study with a guy for 2.5 years. And I studied with him, and finally I just like, I gotta do something. Like, we're just going in circles. We're going through all this stuff, and he agrees, and he agrees some more. But nothing ever comes of it. His life hasn't changed. He hasn't made the choice to follow Jesus. He hasn't been immersed into Christ for the forgiveness of sins and to receive the Holy Spirit. So we've had this study over and over again, and so finally I was like, hey man, like, what are we doing here? What are we doing here? Are we studying the Bible? Are we listening to the Bible? Or are we just going through it, just going through the motions? You know. And he was like, wow, man, I gotta think about that. I guess I probably need to do that. And then the next week we get back to study, and it was just the same old thing. Hearer, but not a doer. A hearer, but not a follower. Not a believer. Not somebody who truly understood what was happening, what we were going through. Now I pray for this man. I pray that at some point in his life he understands that hey, this is truth, and this Jesus that I thought I knew that I don't really know, because I haven't done anything to follow him or to know him or to seek him. I pray that he comes and he understands that eventually in his life. A man dying of thirst with a well right next to him, but refusing to drink. That's what it's like to look into the Bible and to read it and to learn and to study, but never change. But to never let it impact us. It's like that man who's there, who's dying of thirst, but all he has to do is grab it and drink, but he won't do it. That's what it's like to reject truth. Turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 2 again. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Let's start verse 14. Remind them of these things and solemnly charge them in the presence of God not to wrangle about words, which is useless and leads to the ruin of the hearers, but be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, handling accurately the word of truth. Now, how do you think Timothy, when he goes through and Paul gives him a lot of instruction here, hey, you got to do, there's quite a few things you got to do here. And he charges them in the presence of many to do these things, to do the work of the evangelist. Now, how is Timothy going to be able to do those things if he doesn't accurately handle the word of truth? He's not going to be able to handle those situations. You think he's going to appoint correct elders? You think he's going to, you know, shut up the rebellious men? Those that are introducing false doctrines, if he doesn't fully understand, that doesn't prove himself to be a hearer and a doer of the word? Absolutely not. He is a person, as an example for us, who has studied the word, who went through and learned about God and learned about Jesus and finished the race, and the fact that he continued on and he learned about him, but he didn't just stop with the knowledge, but he continued on to the wisdom and the knowing and the understanding of the knowledge of the truth. Not the facts, but the truth. And he was able to handle all of those things. In the end, he had no need to be ashamed because he handled the truth accurately. From Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, starting verse 24. Familiar passage, familiar story. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts upon them may be compared to a wise man who built his house upon the rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came down, and the winds blew, and burst against the house, and yet it did not fall, for it had been founded upon the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act upon them will be like the foolish man who built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and burst against the house, and it fell, and great was its fall. If we are here, we will be on that foundation of the rock. And when the floods come, when the trials come, when the tribulation comes, and the storms blast against the foundation, we will stand, because our foundation is on the truth. Turn over to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Verse 7. It says, but whatever, and this is Paul speaking, but whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be lost in the view of the surpassing value of knowledge, oh my lands, I'm speaking terribly there. Verse 8, again, we'll start over. More than that, I count all things to be lost in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them but rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ. You think Paul was worried about little things? You think that Paul understood what it was to be a doer? Do you think when as we read about, do you think maybe when they opposed him to his face and drug him out into the edges of the city and stoned him, left him for dead because they supposed he was dead? Do you think that he cared about what he was losing in life when he got back up and he walked back in the city to preach? Do you think that he thought about those things? Do you think that when we look at Paul and the life that he lived and the things that he did, do you think it was just something that he heard but never really believed? Or do you think that he truly believed and he truly cared about people and he truly went and spoke to people in a way that they could come to the knowledge of the truth? Do we know the facts about Jesus, or do we know Jesus? Now, I do not want to discredit learning. We absolutely have to learn. We have to do it. We have to study. We have to look through the Word. We have to understand. We have to study it out for ourselves. Don't take other people's word for it. But if it just stops with the knowledge of the words and not the knowledge of who it's about, then it's pointless. It's a waste of time. It's a waste of our life. Turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, we'll start in verse 1. It says, "But realize this, that in the last days difficult times will come. For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power, and avoid such men as these. For among them are those who enter into households and captivate weak women, weighed down with the sins led on by various impulses, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth." When I was in college, I had a professor who was a missionary, and he gave a talk to the men one night, and he talked about how he didn't really, you know, he talked about a lot of things, and he made this statement without, you know, he understood both sides of it, but he made the statement that in some ways it's not fair for people in America to continue to hear about Jesus when places around the world have never heard about him. And I thought about it, and I was like, man, that's... maybe he's right. But I thought about a couple of things. One, it was not fair for any of us to come to the knowledge of the truth. None of us are owed. None of us are worthy of coming to the knowledge of the truth. God has made that possible for us fully out of his grace. Whether we live in America, whether we live in a tribal community in Africa, none of us deserve it. But the second thing that I thought of was, okay, so... so you've got the neighbor down the street. Yeah, they've heard about Jesus. They've heard who Jesus was over and over and over again in their lives. They know, you know, they see it on TV, they hear it on the radio. They, you know, there's access all over the internet. There's access everywhere. We're in a town of 5,000 people, and there's 19 different congregations in this town. I mean, obviously there's an opportunity to hear the name Jesus. But then I got to thinking, have they just heard the name Jesus, or have they actually been introduced to him? Do they actually know who he is? And my understanding was, no, they don't. So it's not that they've gotten the chance to, you know, they've got to learn about Jesus multiple times. Some of them have. Some of them have had the opportunity. But there's people right here in this town that have no idea who Jesus is. No idea. Have never met him, have never been introduced to him, have no idea who he is, because there's so much out there, so many different ideas out there that have built for themselves an image of who Jesus is, but have not shown who Jesus actually is. And so when I sit down to have a Bible study with somebody from other denominations or different things, or just somebody who's a religious person or whatever, who professing Christian, whatever it is, we have to go through. You know, I don't just take their word for it. Do you know Jesus? Oh, yeah, I know Jesus. Well, what Jesus? Oh, you know, Jesus of the Bible. Okay, well, who is that? Is Jesus of the Bible the baby that was born in Bethlehem? Or is Jesus in the Bible the kid who came out of Nazareth? Or is Jesus in the Bible the one who died on the cross? Or is it the Jesus who ascended and is on his throne today? Because there's a difference. In my view, all of them are him. But the earthly Jesus is not who we serve. We serve the Jesus on the throne. But so many people go back to, you know, they're excited about Christmas because They get to look at the baby Jesus, but they don't get to look at the one that's sitting on the throne judging. They don't want to know that Jesus. They don't want to know the one that can send them to hell. That can allow them to go to hell, I should say, because they have chosen that. They don't want to be, you know, they don't want to serve the one who sees all things in the dark and the night and the bright of the day, whatever it is. They like that physical Jesus who was stuck in Galilee. They don't like the one who's on the throne. And there is a difference in who we worship. And I think that as we go through the scripture, I think if we're open to it and our minds are open to it and we let our hearts be open to it, we will find the true Jesus because he is speaking through this continuously. But it's not about the knowledge of him. It's about actually knowing who he is and having that relationship with him. We can have all the knowledge of the truth. I can go so far as even to say, yeah, we can know the ins and outs of the Holy Spirit and that you got to be immersed for forgiveness of your sins and receive the Holy Spirit, and we can know about the new creation and all these different things. We can have all the knowledge. But if we don't have the relationship, it's not there. And it means absolutely nothing without actually knowing the full love that he has. So we got to ask ourselves, what are we willing to count as loss? What are we willing to sacrifice? What are we willing to give up for the surpassing view and the great knowledge of knowing Christ Jesus? What are we willing to count as loss? Hopefully it's everything, and I think that it is from all of you that I know and so many others out there, we're willing to give it up. We're willing, we know who Jesus is, and we truly serve him. And I pray that we continue in that battle, that we continue in that fight until the very end, as Paul writes about in 2 Timothy. That we fight the good fight, and we continue the course, and we keep the faith, that we know who Christ Jesus is. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for this chance that we have to look into your word, Lord. I thank you so much for the ability that we have to know you, Lord, the approachable King that we have on his throne today, the one that through through the Holy Spirit we have that access to you, Lord, that it's no longer that we have to go yearly and different times to make sacrifices and have the physical high priest go and speak on our behalf, but Lord, that we have the access to the greatest high priest of all, the high priest in Jesus that is overall forever, Lord, that we have that access to him and through him to you as our advocate, Lord, that we can know the love that you have for us, Lord, that we can know the things about you that you have laid out for us in your scriptures. Lord, I thank you so much for the brethren. I thank you for the commitment that they have to serving you. Lord, I pray that as we go throughout this week that we are ready at all times to give an account for the hope that lies within, that we might help lead others to you as well. I thank you for Jesus, and we just pray things in his name. Amen.